Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
I am Noah, Brandon Davis's mother. I know there's someone out there somewhere that knows something. Something that happened. I'm begging you as a mother, with a love in my heart, for my son. This is the 2-year anniversary. And anniversary doesn't sound right to say, because it's not a celebration. As Josh has said, my health is not good. But I am fighting to stay strong. Because I am fighting to find and learn about Noah. The last time I saw Noah, he carried me to the car. I couldn't use the crutches right. So he picked me up and put me in the car. And he said, Mom, I see you when you get out. You go get took care of. It wasn't a goodbye. It was a see you later. Love you. And see you soon. That was the last I seen of him. I never saw him no more.
Hello, and welcome to episode 37 of The Vanished. Tonight, we will be discussing the disappearance of 24-year-old Noah Davis from Ringgold, Georgia. I would like to thank both Noah's mom and his brother for taking the time to speak with me for the show. In episode 36, you heard Josh explain the events leading up to Noah's disappearance and why it is so important to him to find out what happened. In this episode, we will discuss Josh's interactions with law enforcement and his own investigation into Noah's disappearance. This is part 2 of Noah's story. We ended the last episode with the discovery of Josh's truck in a parking lot in East Ridge, Tennessee, and Josh also described the condition that the truck was left in. Josh explained to me his initial attempts to find Noah, and also that it took a full year for law enforcement to finally reach out to him again.
After I'd filed that police report and I'd gotten all the information to follow back up with that Officer Fry, I got his card and a case number and so forth. I tried initially about 4 days later. Again, I'm thinking every single day that's passed that I'm going to hear from my brother by that time, at least, or something, because I haven't quit. I'm talking to his friends. I've created my first little missing fire and being what I thought would be at the time something that would more than likely embarrass him into coming out, because I felt like he was, you know, probably going to catch wind of it at some point. I've never really quit doing that ever since, because I still do it to this very day. But it took, if you can believe it or not, it took about almost a year before I heard back from anyone. And this also included me going to the sheriff's department in person myself. And I picked up an open records request, turned it in, and got the report back, seeing there wasn't nothing at all, hardly on this. And to this very day, I've picked this same report up 3 times, and it's not changed much at all.
On July 17, 2015, Josh received his first communication from law enforcement. He read the email to me during the interview.
Mr. Wright, Mr. Davis is listed in the national database as wanted on the outstanding warrant for him. Also, at the time of the initial reporting that he was missing, I met several times with his mother, you, and other members of his family and chased every lead that became available on his possible location with no success. At that time, we also posted his information on Facebook as wanted, which they did do one time and only once. And the only information received from that posting was people saying they knew him or went to school with him, but no leads were obtained from on his possible location. I will again pull his photograph and information and post that again to see if we get any results, which he never did. However, understand that he knows he is wanted and has been hiding because of that. His family has told me, as if I'm not that, has told me on many occasions he knows this, and they have contacted his known friends and etc., and have also had no access in locating his location, thus telling us he doesn't want to be found. So for the first year, solid and straight, as you can hear, he's speaking in present tense, that Noah knows he is, you know, wanted and so forth. And to cover that really quick, he did get a warrant put on him because he had a court ordered appointment to go to. And of course he missed it because he had went missing. And this was about 3 days after I'd filed the initial police report. He failed to report to it. Thus a warrant was put out for his arrest. And so in my opinion, they've treated it that way ever since. They've treated him as a fugitive. There's a little paradox that comes about, especially with a missing adult. If the circumstances are suspicious or whatever, because a human being adult can go missing at any point in time that they want to, because they have that right to. And so they have to look at the circumstances to see if it's suspicious enough to treat it as such.
Imagine the amount of progress that could have been made in that first year if they had been searching for Noah as a missing person instead of a fugitive. Josh described some suspicious circumstances surrounding Noah's circle of friends, which he believes should have led police to investigate Noah's disappearance further.
Noah had a very close friend pass away a month before this all began, and then even a month after he had went missing, the girl that he had been dating at the time was killed in a suspicious house fire. These are pretty major things to me that would be a flag.
Was this the friend who committed suicide?
Yep, yeah. In all of his friends' opinions, it was an obvious suspicious. But the person was apparently, I haven't, you know, thoroughly researched this one enough just yet, but I'm actually going to do that within the next coming week because these cases have so much to do with one another. He apparently killed himself.
Do you know how he supposedly killed himself?
By noose. And was discovered by a person that we have talked about before also. He's got a common denominator in a few of these issues, and same person who discovered this body. Person that discovered this death, pretty much, the body of this person that was a friend of my brother's, is we're just going to call him Steve. I'm not going to give away his actual name just because I don't feel like giving the person a reason to turn rabbit right now, to be honest with you, but I have no reason to hide any detail. This person, Steve, again, is apparently who had went, and this is confirmed via one of the police reports I've read, that he went and discovered at this person's residence inside of a locked shed the body of the individual inside the shed hanging and passed away. A lot of the questions have came about from this because of the fact the person was in a locked shed. It doesn't make any sense to anybody. It doesn't to me either, but to any of the people close to the person, as to why he would have locked the shed and then apparently committed suicide.
Sheds usually lock from the outside. Do you know if this one locked from the outside as well?
That's correct. But the person who discovered that body of my brother's friend, and all these people have networked with one another and were friends, was Steve, again, I'll say. And again, when I first heard that detail, I asked, are there any or were there any kids that lived there on the premises? Because that would be the only thing if I thought of in my exit, if I was going to do it, why I would lock the door, because I wouldn't want a child to discover it. But, you know, who's to say what's going through someone's mind at that point? But locking a door on the outside is kind of a difficult thing to accomplish if you're inside a basic tool shed. But that's how he was discovered. In my opinion, very suspicious, but apparently the sheriff's department has put their foot down on that one as well.
Could this supposed suicide be the key to figuring out the motive behind Noah's disappearance?
Come to find out from some of the information that I'm learning over this course of time, this has apparently a lot to do with that in detail, or with some of the details being that apparently that, now these are just theories right now, I'm not stating facts, that my brother had begun asking questions because he just had gotten released and gotten out on the 12th, and this happened just a little bit before, I believe on the 6th of June or July, I'm not sure. But he began asking questions, and apparently it was the right questions. And that's one of the main theories that's gotten Noah in the middle of all this, is that he was wondering the correct things around the wrong people. Yeah.
Over the span of just a few months, what are the chances of Noah's friend dying suspiciously, then Noah disappearing, and then just a month later, Noah's girlfriend also died suspiciously?
And again, Noah had been dating a girl at the time, and they had all been hanging out, Noah, Steve, and this female. She had been, and what you can even Google from, you know, our Chattanooga news here, a suspicious house fire is what took her life. And also, that's apparently a closed book case, meaning that they feel like they've gotten the entire story as well on that one. But to me, they connect all through, at least, at the very least, it connects, both of these incidents connect with my brother. And that's kind of interesting, at the very least. And that's what's called a critical indicator. And when you're looking into something, you look for critical indicators. You look for common denominators in the same separate stories. And that's how you can kind of start beginning to build a basis for truth. And these stories had certain things in common that began waving flags to me and nothing else. So moving forward now, you know, a year into it, I finally got that response back that, you know, spoke of my brother in the present tense. And I'd already known at this point, even a year into it, that honestly, 3 weeks into it, I knew my brother had to have been, something's had to have happened to him. Nobody had had any falling out with Noah either, so he had absolutely no reason to break contact, if anything whatsoever. And if he'd even decided to move on and start a life afresh and start anew, you know, somewhere else with a clean slate, he wouldn't be able to do that because he was still on probation. And then also, it just would not make any sense whatsoever for him to do so, be it that he had never even had his own telephone number, had his own car. He knows that I would, if he were, you know, out living out on a beach somewhere with his new life, that I would track him down and wouldn't have that enough right there, because he did know me.
Shortly before he was released, Noah sent Josh a heartfelt letter. This letter is very meaningful to Josh today.
One of the last things I got in direct correspondence from Noah was a letter in the mail that still is even hard for me to read to this day, but other than that one phone call where I released some property to him that we spoke of before, the last time that we had directly corresponded, it had something along the lines from, I think it came in the mail, is where I got this from. It says, "Dear Josh," that'd be me, "thank you for being my number one hero. You have never steered me wrong or in the wrong direction. You've always set a good example for me. I could not and would not ask for a different brother. I only wish one day I will follow in your footsteps. Understanding how big the shoe is to fill, you've helped me, lending me some of your tremendous courage. It is incredible how you take life by the horns, so to speak. I can't emphasize enough how much it means to me that you are always there for me. Thank you is not enough. One day I will make it up to you. In the meantime, I just wanted to let you know from the bottom of my heart, I love you, brother." And I'm looking at it in his handwriting because I scanned it and kept it, of course. But that was one of the last times he ever directly spoke to me, really. So I don't read anything from that would make me believe that he's going to run away from all of us or anything at all.
Can you briefly explain your history with local officials?
The explanation that I was trying, or they were trying to apparently force feed to me, was just garbage from the get-go. And I was anticipating, and I was correct, you know, part of, they don't enjoy talking to me that much because of some of the past that we've had, I guess is the best way I could put it. And I have a cause that's called Support Daddy versus Catoosa County, and this is Catoosa County. So, you know, they never enjoyed conversating with me much because of that. And I didn't do anything wrong. I just put them out there anytime I felt like they were doing something wrong. And they never liked it. Like, there's some YouTube videos and stuff like that that they definitely became upset about. They barred me from the courthouse. And I got them talking about it one day, and I put that online, and they've never really enjoyed me ever since. Because, I'm allowed to have access to my courthouse. It's a Georgia constitutional fail there. You have to be able to have access to your law system and so forth. But they definitely hated me for a lot of those reasons. All the wrong people did. I'll say that much. They're still on there too, but I definitely wasn't going to take them down because it's upset someone. I always know what I'm doing. Like, for example, at the beginning of the story, when I mentioned I went and gotten pulled over and so forth and gotten arrested for the driver's license matter, even though I knew I had done nothing wrong, typically people get embarrassed by that type of thing enough where they would hide it or something like that. No, I put that up as well. I have full transparency anytime anything is going on. But I just keep it 100 like that. My integrity is important to me. And so, yeah, I would post that if I did anything wrong. But there's never been to this day anything that I feel like I've done anything wrong. But I've kept 100% accountability on the entire story, even as it's carried over from the previous ordeal over into this one. And especially now that it's in dealing with my brother, I keep the diligence, you know, archived and on record and ready to go, and there's not been much from their end on it, other than them trying to distance themselves from it and accuse my brother of being a fugitive and running more than anything else. They've not really kept up and done anything other than occasionally respond back via email. The fact that, like, even right now, anybody listening to this can go to the Catoosa County Sheriff's Department's Facebook page, and there's a little search bar there on the left for anybody that can see it. You type in my brother's name and only one single post will come up, and that's when they shared for him as a wanted individual and not as a missing person or anything like that. You would be able to view documents or back and forth correspondence between the two of us, you'll see that they apparently have posted a bazillion times about my brother. And that's obviously not the case. Let's see, I've recorded every encounter. I've went through every single thing, realizing that I had hopefully, if possible, keep or have set up something that would keep my integrity from being questioned, because I always felt like I was going to need to have to prepare or prove what I had said or heard in the future. And so I would always begin recording every time that I would, you know, encounter them, especially verbally or out loud. And some of the more infamous ones I'm sure you may hear now on this podcast, but one of the most amazing recordings I know I do have, that I know you will hear, is when they just randomly out of nowhere showed up one day, and I'm talking out of nowhere. I believe I got an email at 11:45 p.m. at nighttime saying nothing but this: make sure you're at home tomorrow 1:30 p.m., which I have a job during the day. Make sure you're at home tomorrow 1:30 p.m. Me and another detective will be coming by to get copies or to swab you and your mother for DNA. And I'm, of course, at that point, I'm like, they found him. They found him. They've got to find him. Of course, I wrote back and replied, okay, I'll be here. And they didn't say anything. I did. I wrote back. I said, okay, I'll be here. Has there anything came up? Did you guys find a body or something? Is everything okay? Why so late? Are you letting me know about this? And so forth. Of course, he didn't write back. I stayed up the whole night, scared and in a state of shock. They showed up at, I think, right on time, 1:30 or 1:45 the next day. And I remember as soon as they walked in, of course, they immediately focused on talking with my mom, who's very Southern, very, very polite. And they were just small talking her up. And all I'd said to them initially was, okay, so what's going on? Because even though they were in there talking to my mother in the kitchen, walking in from the main entrance, I'm staring at them like, why are they in such a chipper mood? I don't understand. How could they not want to let us know as soon as possible what was going on? I don't know. But all I remember saying to them was, okay, so what's going on? And he goes into a rant about something that had been posted on Facebook or something. And it was just completely out of hand. I remember where, in this recording, you'll hear my mom in the background even, calm down, calm down. She's not talking to me. She's talking to them, believe it or not. And as you can hear at the very beginning of it, when I'm, yeah, it's explicit, but I think we're a little bit over a year to a year and a half into it at this point, and I'm getting so sick of never seeing a person, never speaking to anyone, not ever having a meeting or an update or anything, that them coming right off the top of their heads with something absolutely rude as I'll get out, I think I let him have it a little bit.
Here are some clips from that conversation that Josh is talking about. When you hear something bleeped out, that is the real name of Steve and also a woman's name who is possibly connected to Noah's disappearance.
Well, that's good. It's been a while.
What's going on?
Well, that poster that I put on Facebook that you made all the smart aleck comments about.
Is that relevant, man? I'm pissed off. Yeah, well, so what about it?
I don't care.
I can tell. This out of my face.
You don't want to cooperate?
They're not trying to cooperate.
Calm down, please.
I've been leaving messages 3 days.
Not with me. You contacted me once. Okay. Calm down.
Okay.
It's my brother.
I am calm.
That wasn't even necessary. Yes, I'm fucking pissed. I'm the big brother. He's my brother. I'm pissed off. 2 years.
You asked what I was doing with the stuff and how it was relevant.
I've not talked to you any. You've not reached out and said shit to me.
No,
I'll fucking get mad if I want to. It's my brother, not yours.
Josh, Mom trusts you.
Don't say another smart-ass comment.
Yes.
I don't have to shoot. Don't say another smart-ass comment.
Did you ever get your computer back?
No.
Okay.
What was that posting about? About? And they come to my work every day, and they thought I'd call the police on them.
Brandon, that's the last two I can connect Noah with,
right.
And that's at the motel.
What the fuck was that?
That's that sign.
I talked to. She interviewed with me. She gave me some information I'm still working on. Has yet to talk to me.
I talked to him.
He's avoiding me like the plague. I've been told he's afraid I'm going to put him in jail for dope charges.
They thought I called y'all on them. No, really, they come up to my work every night, everywhere I bounce at.
But Brandon and was the last two guys that was with Noah in the motel room. That's the cutoff point right there.
See, I'm being told that he was possibly with Noah in a car.
No, he was in the motel room.
What motel room?
Noah, Brandon,
what
and
motel?
Josh.
The one you have him registered at on that nameless website is not being a registered guest of.
But I don't have him registered anywhere.
I'm telling you, that hotel.
Well, I mean,
America's
Best
Value
Inn.
They
told me that Noah has never been a registered guest there.
Yeah, that was some chick's room.
Several minutes into the interview, the conversation, once again, turns back to Josh's Facebook posts.
And Josh, that was what I was saying a while ago. I'm not trying to piss you off, buddy, but
well, he had been.
When you put stuff like you do on Facebook that we haven't been doing anything for 2 years, that's not true.
All I have to go by is what I go by with you. Like your word of mouth is all I have. And
how many times have we posted Noah on Facebook?
Twice. Only one link still exists.
Three times. Okay.
Where's the other one at?
They all went on there.
They take it down like they did my comment, I reckon.
Well, Captain and the Sheriff take down certain posts depending on the attitude and language and things like that. That's their decision. I don't have access.
I'm fine with that, I guess, but that's kind of why, because I'm not just going to sit on my ass.
One of Josh's frustrations has been the incorrect information that's been put out there. Not only his missing date, but they got his eye color wrong. They listed him on Namus as having two different colored eyes, neither of which were correct.
Namus is also
says he's got a gray eye and a freaking...
It's been changed brown.
Some sort of multicolored... And they were even on the news sharing of it. The news said he had two different colored eyes. I'm like, what the fuck?
Noah doesn't...
But since we're not working together on it, I mean, that's just
Josh,
where it kind of goes.
Listen to me, okay?
Huh?
Contrary to what you feel about your past, Aaron, you're not a police
what
officer.
What past? I'm not trying to be a police officer. I'm his brother. There's a difference.
Well,
you're not that.
And there's a lot of things that I do.
I have no idea what you do.
That you don't need to have any part of. Honestly,
that's fine.
A lot of the things
you choose
that
to
you've
not cooperate
hurt
cool.
My investigation more than help me.
Vice versa,
okay?
I guess.
That's quite well. That just makes my job harder. Okay. And
so does not talking to us.
How so?
Because you don't think we're important enough to talk to?
That has nothing to do with it.
Well, if it's like for that J posting, like I could have connected you to them immediately.
No,
I still
can.
I'll call him right now.
Call him. Tell him to come see me. Because his
I did already talk to him.
He already knows.
I've already
knows.
Talked to him. He's just aware.
His family knows.
He's a big boy.
I'm just saying, these are examples of what, I mean, I've already talked to him. I have the whole conversation recorded and everything. Would you like it? I'm just...
That's
For an hour and a half, I sat and talked with the guy. I record everything.
Well, I'm sure you do, but none of that's in this one court. If anything were to
they're
come
not
going to
hear
it. In this.
So you're wasting your time.
Why do you think I want to put a... I'm not wasting my time. I'm just wasting my time. I'm doing work from what I feel like I'm obligated to do as a brother, not as a police officer.
He's worked his butt off on this case.
Well, it looks like he's starting to now.
No, he has been. That's what you don't.
What is funny?
For 2 years, I've been working.
Why is it funny? And two times you've told me you didn't even care. At what point do we get a different detective?
You don't.
This is the sorriest, shittiest investigation I've ever seen in my life. And the fact that y'all keep antagonizing me.
Nobody's antagonizing
you. Huh? You both have an attitude of wanting to defend yourselves and what you do and your diligence. I don't care about that. I want to see a result. If you're so trained, if you're so well off and better than me, show me some progress. I get nothing but contradicting things. Like the last time he was here, 4 months ago, we had him confirmed in Hickson. I doubt that that's even any. I've never heard anything about that in my life. That's what I'm saying. Throw your hands up, but it's not funny to me.
Nobody's laughing.
Huh?
Talk to a bunch of people that tell a bunch of different stories.
This is exactly my point. I'm aware.
Okay, that's what we're investigating. That's why he's
but
working.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, letting us know.
To.
I get email messages at 11:30 at night telling me about pulling DNA, and I'm sitting up all night worried to death about it because that's all I got is a single message. I can't ask questions. We don't know shit. Noah's birthday's in fucking 2 weeks.
That's why he's here today to talk to y'all face to face and let you know what's going on.
Okay.
If you know that good, tell him to come to the office.
He needs to be a man. Just for you to call me about DNA collection for 3 days.
Well, if you try, how long did it take for me to write you back? You reach out to me, I'll immediately reply.
Okay.
Well, my mom's sick. What is that?
She
why are you doing that?
She can answer herself.
The best predictor of future behavior is always the past. I'm just saying, I'm immediately available 24/7. If you need to reach my mom and can't, try me and you'll get one right away. I never wanted to be a police officer. Why would that even be relevant?
That's what we've been for 20-some years.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't appreciate a lot of the other things, but that service I do appreciate.
I'm just telling you.
I got 11 years in public service. That's all I was trying to say when I brought it up. He thinks I'm trying to have a dick measuring contest, and that's not the case.
Listen, all I'm trying to tell you is that's being worked on diligently.
I'm just trying to say fugitive recovery is different than missing people. Missing people are sitting somewhere more than likely. Even say if he's passed on, he's laying somewhere. Fugitives run from flags being waved saying, hey, we want you and we don't want to be caught. So they run from it. That's a fugitive running from his warrant. Missing person isn't necessarily doing that. The circumstances have been suspicious the entire time. All the people he hung out with are dead. Courtney Godwin. They were together the last time he was, you know what I'm saying? She's dead.
To who?
Courtney Godwin, dead.
You know what?
Drew Lemon's dead.
Yeah.
These are the people that he hung out with.
I knew Drew very well.
Yeah, I know. He was in and out of the system. Burglar. He's a burglar.
Not just that. I knew him when I worked in the school system.
Yeah, because he was a really good, famous, little popular kid. I know. And these are the people that he hung out with. These are the reasons why the circumstances were suspicious from day one that he should have been treated as a missing person. Not as
he was.
I got the email from you telling me different. Like word for word, the whole thing explains why he's running from you. And my whole thing is, I know you're experienced, and I'm not saying you're not. I know you are. I know you're good at what you do. Most of the time, it sounds like you are. But what have you done that brought progress? Progress is, I haven't seen anything. That's not any time.
And I'm not obligated to share that with you.
That's a weird thing to say, because I'm not really needing or demanding it. I'm just saying what has happened.
The reason that I'm not sharing that with you.
You don't need to, but what have you got that's happened? What's progress?
A lot of the postings that you chose to put on in reference to my postings or our postings on Facebook have done me more harm than good.
I've only done it twice. I can't even comment on Catoosa County's page. All I say is I just didn't feel like anything had happened because you wrote me in that message, and that's what I went off of. That message says that Noah's running from you.
Do you remember I was here the last time? And that I gave you information the last time I was here, less than what long ago was that? It's this year.
Yeah.
What about it? The Hickson day that you said he was in Hickson?
That I had information that he had been in Hickson.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. You remember that visit when I told you all that?
Yeah. You notice I didn't say anything about any of that?
Yeah, you did. You posted on there less than 20 minutes after I left here. Just got a visit from a detective, and I'm not real sure that I believe anything he said.
Yeah, that was pretty much true, because, yeah, it didn't make any sense. There's nothing wrong with having an opinion. I mean, you were aware of it. That's why you were so mad that day in person at the sheriff's office. That I already asked for somebody to be reassigned. That's all. That's why you were upset. You said you didn't appreciate me asking your supervisor or the sheriff to have you reassigned. That's why he told me he was upset.
That's fine, but they're not going to reassign anybody.
I don't care. My thing is, that's what he told me why he was upset. He's upset at me. That's not a problem for me. I don't have anything to fear about him. I can't go to jail for being an older brother. I know. I'm his older brother. I'll fucking get mad if I want. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm not. I'm trying to be helpful, and I can't participate or be aware of any of this, but all I know is what I got to go by is all he says to me, and everything is different every time I see him. And he also has been, I've not been out of line. He's been out of line every single time. He yelled at me.
You had your thumb in my face a while ago when you were yelling and screaming. So, you know.
Whatever, I'm upset.
That's fine.
You guys deal with victims much?
We deal with a whole host of people, all varieties. Trust me. That's why I've got
Trying to trust. I don't have anything to go by but word of mouth and what you guys say. That's why at least there's no expectation of privacy here. I don't know what the hell I can do other than go by what I'm told, and I get told different kind of crazy things from this guy.
Well, then
my thing is, it's my brother. It's my brother. There's nothing funny. You're smiling. That makes me mad.
Nobody's laughing about that.
Well, then I don't think that anything about what your demeanor should do is smile at me. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing funny about it.
Nobody's saying anything's funny about
it. If anything happens, and it's the worst case scenario, I will absolutely, in every sense of the word, want to see every bit of this to hold anyone accountable that has been grossly negligent on my brother's case. He matters.
Exactly, he does.
Actually, I've never really been that offended before in my life. I wish it had been a video. And I sit and I walk off once or twice, as you can hear. It's a 43-minute long recording. And they get on to me about every 10 minutes. They say something else smart aleck. But if you'll notice there, after I got him to calm down by, he goes into an immediate different subject change, like, did you ever get your laptop back or something like that? That's the route he went. And I said, no. And he moves forward, clearly not trying to segue into something else because he's seen how touchy I seem to have gotten, I guess. But he's not going to talk like that. He has no grounds to speak like that. I don't care if he came in with 14, 15 of them with him. He's not going to come in our mother's house being disrespectful right off top. When I, you know, have a very good justification in being as upset as I was. And like, I don't have to sit here and explain my diligence. I don't have to sit here and explain certain things because they talk to me as if I'm some sort of outsider trying to investigate it instead of the victim that I am, because I'm a victim. That's my little brother. They'll talk to me as if I have no association or shouldn't have any emotions involved in it whatsoever. And not only am I the person that's done all the work on it and all the investigating, I'm the person that's second to my mother, the most upset about it. Me and Chase equally, you know, my brother. We are hurting about it. We're grieving about it. And so, you know, damn that. And I'll be damned if he's going to come in there and be smart at all, period. And every time that he said something smart, I let him have it. They piss me off from the get-go. And if I get that way, I tend to just run off at the mouth. Y'all can't imagine how much passion I have behind this. Every single time, though, they say something ignorant or say something weird, even in that recording, I put them quickly in their place. And they should have, they felt the brunt end of my, vulgarities and stuff on that end on that day because of how he started it when he got there. Honestly, that's what had me set off. And I never calmed down. And I remember they had constantly just re-explained their diligence and tried to, I remember there's one part in there where I've asked my supervisor, and his supervisors went and got his supervisor, and they've looked at what I've done, and they say I've done a great job. I got tired of hearing all that. I don't care about how much it sounds like, according to his peers, how much work he's done and all that. And his diligence didn't matter anything to me. All I'm trying to explain is exactly the obvious situation that was at hand. And I didn't want to have any, I didn't want to hear anything about how it appears that they're doing much work or little work or tons of work and all that. I didn't care because they hadn't done any. I don't care about how much they tried to force feed. I wasn't going to accept any of it, but they stayed on that subject. And they tried to explain to me a few times and down me for not being law enforcement. I never claimed to be law enforcement. I never claimed to be a detective or police. You know, I was like, y'all sit there and talk all you want. I'm not sitting here trying to have some sort of dick measuring contest. I'd much rather get to the point.
I made an attempt to reach the Catoosa County Sheriff's Department via phone and email. I was transferred to the sheriff's secretary and left the following message. I never got a call back.
You've reached the desk. I'm away from my desk or on another line. If you'll leave your name and number, I'll call you back as soon as possible. Thank you.
After the tone, please record your message. When finished, you may hang up to deliver the message or press pound for more options.
Hi, my name is Marissa, and I have a program that covers missing persons cases. I am currently working on an episode about Noah Davis, and I was looking to see if somebody could speak with me about the current status of the case. You can reach me at... Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
I emailed several people within the department and did get one email which read, "There is an ongoing active investigation and details of the case cannot be discussed at this time. Thank you, Lieutenant Freddie Roden." The Catoosa County Sheriff has a weekly show on a local public access channel. Josh and I watched an episode of it together a couple Thursday nights ago. We attempted to call in and ask some questions, but the show ended abruptly when we started calling. The show is actually really funny if you want to watch it, and they live stream it weekly around 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Josh explained to me his experiences calling in.
To begin documenting a lot of our diligence and trying to keep Noah's name fresh in their heads, there's a local weekly call-in show called Sheriff's Talk. On this show, I call in with some of the most obviously aware of the answer questions of all time. At first, it was anyhow. It was just going to be a thing for me to keep Noah up in their head and to keep waving Noah like a Noah flag, pretty much. Remember this guy? I'm not going to drop the subject. Remember this? Remember this? Remember this guy? He matters, because he does matter. He's not getting the same treatment as anybody else would. They've not, at this point, when we begin calling into this show, they've not even done as much as to share him with the media here at all. Our media here locally will only broadcast the story if the sheriff's department that's handling the matter contacts them personally themselves. And they had not done that, still have not done that to this day, will not do that for some reason, and God only knows why. But they're not showing Noah that respect, and that's unreal. It offends me so bad to even think about how much of a mistreatment that is. He's a human being. Even if he wasn't my little brother, he's still a human being, and he deserves that equal treatment. So I'm calling in with the basic question is, like, honestly, a very good one at first, too, is to when we were going to be able to get the property searched here by cadaver dogs. Because as I know that once you have a problem, you have to isolate the problem. One of the things they had not done was isolate the problem here, being that his property had not ever been searched. So that's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty obvious step that they never took, the first one. So it took almost 9 months for them to get cadaver dogs up here to search the place. And so in that 9 months, I was calling and asking, why is it taking so long to get that part done? Or I would call up there 1 week and just be like, okay, can you give me some tips, Sheriff, as to about what I could do to do this on my own, be it that I have an 8-year-old here and I'd rather not have to do it, but what I need to do to search this property on my own? Just questions like that. And I'd listen to his explanation and something random, Google Maps, print it off. And so, like, I wouldn't know how to do that. And, you know, basic questions that you would think that when the show was over, he would get kind of heated about, or at least a headache, or he'd go over there and search that property. And that never happened for about 9 months. They finally done it, and they waited till they knew for a fact nobody in the world would be here. And they showed up and done it.
Josh has videos of these call-ins on Facebook. I've watched all of his videos, and the one that bothered me the most was when his mother called in. They were completely dismissive of her, and she was just asking that they mention him on their show.
She called in on her birthday, or when she called in on Noah's birthday. Yeah, that was a big deal for us, too. And so I don't let my mom speak much, because the fact that if I hear somebody run her over, it's going to piss me off. And then also, I don't feel like she's capable of confrontation very well, but she can make her points. And she does her best, like in situations like that where I'd let her call in. I say let. I'm not controlling her, but She knows why I asked her to do that and what my intentions were, and then she calls, if that makes sense. She gets why I think that would be a good idea, and then she agrees, and she takes that action on her own. But when she called in, she would mention these certain things, and she's sounding just as sweet as you could imagine an old Southern woman sounding. And you can see from the person's face, when I say the person, I say the sheriff of our county here. He just sits there and, have you guys mentioned Noah's name yet? Like, she just would ask that. Have you guys mentioned Noah at all yet? I was just wondering. No, ma'am. He would just leave it at that, awkward and everything. Watching his face on the screen meant a lot to me. You could see some of the emotions on his end by that alone. And that's why I also kept it as a video upload instead of an audio upload. Every time we call in, watch their face. And every time that we've called in, I've uploaded the video onto the search pages page as under the video section on purpose. And I also humbly will leave it open every Thursday at 8:00. Feel free to call in yourselves. It wouldn't bother me a bit to see more than one person call in and ask about my brother. I'm sure that would do wonders for at least motivating someone on their end. I'll tell you that, and so forth. It's a very, very, very old-time, old-fashioned type of show, but it has the sheriff of our county and the sheriff of a neighboring county on the other end sitting there, and that's a pretty good hot seat if you take advantage of that opportunity, and that's why I have every time. He's on the spot, and he has to answer. The very last time I called in, I asked him if he could set up a meeting so we could have an update session as to where it stands, and we could exchange information at the very least. And I've even turned in a 3,000-page notebook. And he said, sure, we'll make arrangements, or I'll have my secretary schedule a time or something like that. He's never to this day called me back or given me a time or date where we could do that to this very day. And that's on the line. Like, he says he'll make it a point to set some time aside for either he or my mother or me and him. And that's never even happened. It's kind of why I do that, to document the diligence too. But honestly, he does need to be held accountable for his actions because he's in charge of it. And I beg that man to this day, in person, unofficially, on the record, off the record, and under recordings, to give me at least, at the very least, another detective to look at it. Because I know of two detectives that work for our county that I would love to have look at it because I trust them. And he refuses, absolutely refuses. And we are going on the 2-year anniversary right now. And I cried to that sheriff's face asking, can you just let another person look at it? And it's mainly because of the attitude, the treatment, the cussing, the yelling that the detective has given to us, like in person. He's yelled at me. He's came in my mom's house, disrespected me. And like, let's just give it another shot. Give me another one of the other detectives. That's a fair question or request at some point, because he's been wrong and he stayed wrong. But, you know, thinking that Noah was running from a warrant and so forth. And they just finally began treating him as different than that in February of 2016. And putting all the effort into this, because I'm not a detective and I don't really have the time to be a detective, but I have the desire and the urge and the calling to be one right now because it's my brother and he matters enough to get my time. Like, it's affected a lot of other things going on in my single parent life as well, including employers having to work their way around my hours doing this, letting me leave on occasions and random spurts of time to go to the sheriff's office or to follow up or something like that and so forth. I've had death threats put on my life and stuff like that I've even had to begin, you know, carrying myself because of some of these people have, you know, had also been, you know, apparently supposed to have killed me at some point in time. I'm verifiable. Like, I have printable versions of the threat that exists on my life and stuff like that. The sheriff's department, of course, never has really replied or responded or given any advice on what to do about that. So I went and got my carry permit. I guess I'll have to keep it in, you know, under advisement that way. But it's affected a lot of the other sides of my life as well, including my child. But I try not to let it take over, but it's definitely become pretty close to doing so. I can tell you that. But in my opinion, you know, my brother will get that treatment because he's my little brother. How could you not go and take some sort of action. If you knew of something and then you wouldn't get any replies about something, like it matters that much. It matters that much. He matters that much. Like, I believe, you know, it's not good. I believe it's clearly an obvious, probably, he's been killed.
Josh has spent the past 2 years tracking down these unsavory characters who were connected to his brother. I asked him to explain a little bit about his process and what his research has led him to believe about what happened to Noah.
Pretty much in a nutshell, it's been tons and tons and tons of the kind of the same story result-wise that Noah, like I said, the people involved, the places that this has apparently happened have changed and here and there in these people's stories that I've heard, which this is also a part of detective work. Detectives are supposed to listen, take notes, and notate and notice certain things, but like I was saying before, common denominators in people's stories. Well, the common denominators in all these stories involve my brother apparently being hit by a car, first accidentally, second on purpose, and that is pretty common. Sometimes it's kind of half and half on whether or not my brother jumped out of the car or whether he was thrown out of this car. But apparently, that's the route that's apparently happened to my brother. I heard, you know, by a few that he was shot up, like hit with a needle by someone that got him like down. Some people said that was Drano. They hit him with a needle that had Drano in it really quick. Because he was a pretty big kid. You see from the pictures, he's 6'1", huge. Which comes to mind that it was probably female-wise that, you know, that he would have felt some sort of comfortable like that with, or a friend, you know, a very good friend. And finding all these things out, I work also as security at night, as a bouncer in nightclubs, and so I hear tons and tons of stories, but one in particular, this girl immediately became emotional when she realized that was my little brother. And started an inch and inch and inch and here and there at a time, kind of trying to open up to me about it. And I didn't force her into it. I was going to let her whenever she's ready, because I'd heard from day one that she had knowledge of it, to be honest with you. And, well, abruptly out of nowhere, this girl has died. A drug overdose, unfortunately. Yeah. But this person also has ties to that Steve, I had to think of the name, Steve individual. And to be honest with you, the last time I'd seen, of course, the time frame here is when she passed. Up until that point, the last time I had seen Steve was at this house where this person was found, overdosed. The way that they left, once this girl began overdosing, all the people in the house, because there was, even when I had seen it or been there, there was a lot of people there. Once this overdose began happening, everybody took all the evidence, all their stuff, and up and left her to be found in this house. Like a very crappy situation, but those people got charged. I did read that online, that the people that had left, the person that made the 911 call was not there. They had left. They were just like, alrighty, everybody's out. Cool, I'm going to call them now. Let's all get out of here. That's how that initial 911 notification began on that one. But somehow she was over at that place that I had known Steve to even be residing at from time to time. And still to this day, I'm hearing stories that, unfortunately, I don't really like enjoy repeating this version, but it seems to be the common theory that what she knew about the entire scenario, which was much like what I'd been told, that she was actually in the vehicle when this all had began. But it appears that apparently the two of them, I'm not sure of the reason, had the two of them being Steve and this young lady, apparently began assaulting my brother for some reason, and that they had tossed him out onto an interstate. I'm not sure of the location. But with tons and tons and tons of people even verifying that kind of story by telling it to me out of nowhere and on their own, even after this girl's passing, her mom has written me on her own. For some reason, unprovoked, I've never met her, nothing like that, writes me and tells me that she had heard that I may have knowledge or had assumed that she had something, be it her daughter, to do with my brother, his passing, and she wanted to go and let me know about how much she was a caring person and wouldn't have anything to do with that type of thing. But even that just random initiative taken right there on her own was kind of weird to me. Like, why would she just come out of her way to have never spoke? Still fresh in her mind, her daughter just passed. Like, just take some sort of random initiative like that. And I had no idea what she was talking about. How I would have heard about, like, you know what I'm saying? That was kind of an odd initiative for her to take. And then even in that same day, I'm getting some of her friends writing me to talk about how much the girl's mom had no real knowledge of her day-to-day stuff. It's kind of hard to talk about without mentioning the girl's name, but just some weird connections there. But as it stands right now still, it looks as if the most person of interest is apparently, and it seems to be, this Steve guy and the girl that's unfortunately already passed.
Josh has recorded many, many conversations with people recounting these stories. I was going to use several of them, but some of them were difficult to hear, so I picked the one that I felt would be the easiest one for you guys to understand.
Did you say Marion County or Whitfield County?
Whitwell.
Jasper,
South Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Whitwell. I don't know none of them people. I just talked about it one day. And really, I don't want my name nowhere in it. But if you want, I'll get the kid's name it's supposed to come from. But would be, you know what I'm saying? Somebody
he's still
that,
alive, right?
Yeah. Be somebody that can maybe give some insight to where the words come from.
You let me know?
I'll find out the kid's name.
Don't say my name either.
I don't want my name said it. Josh is being bitten. He's scared guard up the skies here, and I've seen him in that bar crying to me. Like, coming up to me talking about his brother and crying.
His family just needs closure.
I know a little. I mean, and like I said, man, I don't know him, so I, and she's dead, and I really don't want to talk to no detectives because I never knew none of them. But a flat out told me, and I'll find out what name it was. I can find out. But so-and-so come told her that the situation was dope and ripped somebody off of this and that they ran him over in Marion County and killed him, buried him.
Ran him over the car?
Yeah. Said that, I guess they was taking the, they was taking him to hurt him and he tried to jump out the car. So then they ran him over by accident. And then ran him over again and killed him. Buried him. Now, like I said, that could be three stories of hearsay from the front look just for attention. And I don't know none of them. If the police was still managing, I really couldn't even begin to tell them the name of what it was.
Right.
I asked Josh what he thought about a potential motive.
Mostly accident pickup, apparently. I believe they probably thought that they weren't going to kill. They may have felt like they were justified in, like, hurting my brother or making a point to my brother. But, you know, once it got to that point where, oh, this just went there, they went on, you know, damage control. That damage control, mostly on their end, that, oh, crap, there's no turning back now. We got to get rid of this evidence and get ourselves out of this situation so nobody understands or knows. And I've gotten, you know, Noah had gotten my stuff signed over to him, including my truck, my phone, $80 apparently, and so forth. And I have, on my own, like, tracked him down in his last days to the 28th of July, like, from things like Google location history. My Google location history was active on that phone, and when he turned it on, I seen his movements. And on some of those days, I can see his movements. I can see when he was at the America's Best Value Inn and so forth. And I got people tying him and Steve at this Value Inn, the hotel. And it's just not all that hard to put these pieces to this puzzle together, especially in the sense where it should be looked at by somebody with some sort of authority to detain and required to ask or interrogate this person, you know. And that's definitely not happened. I've seen this person. I'll go ahead and tell you, I kept hearing so much about Steve. I hired him myself as a laborer at one of my jobs for a week. And for this week, I went to every day that I worked with him, picked his brain, listened to him talk, asked him about this, talk about this, blah, 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 just to learn how he reacts to certain things and so forth. It wasn't too long after that girl had passed away that I'd done this. and he seems very immature. I can say that, but this person, Steve, he has no idea that I still am looking at him like that or in that way. He still to this day, he doesn't. I know for a fact. But I believe he's also sent up feelers out to try to be disinformation as well. I believe that's all he's tried to do, because he's caught wind of certain things as he stood beside me, and of course, during that week. I believe he's tried to put a little bit of disinformation himself out there, but other than that, he has no idea.
I wondered if it was known for sure if Noah was ever actually at the America's Best Inn.
Oh, I can confirm he was there. Keep in mind, remember, I told you I was in jail. You know, and so it wasn't my movement, clearly, but I can pull up on Google location history, where now it's go to Google Maps and go and select your timeline and just enter in the dates that we're talking about here. And clearly I was incarcerated, and his movements are bam, 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 America's Best Value Inn and somewhere downtown and so forth, like it's clear. And after hacking his Facebook account, which took forever to do, they had apparently subpoenaed Facebook to get a copy, which when that happens, you get a very weird looking form of nothing but font on paper form of someone's Facebook. And it's very monotonous to read or look at, and it's hard to understand. But they had apparently done that and gotten something in return. But I and Chase, myself and Chase, actually, just as of like 2 months ago, finally got access to it by breaking into his Google account first, and the password to that was something to do with my mom. And we broke into that and then had Facebook reset his account via that Google account, and there we were. We were inside it, and that's how I got timeline confirmation of the very last single thing that he had done or said was on the 28th at 9:17 p.m. Much different time than what you see the police have is over a month ago while he was still in jail. That's just ridiculous.
I wanted to know, what was the last location that Josh's phone had tracked Noah to?
A spot downtown. I can't remember the exact address, but yeah, Chattanooga. Not my town is Ringgold, but in Chattanooga, downtown Chattanooga, all within 15 minutes from here. It's in such a populated area, though, that it's hard to tell that. You know, the phone could have just died, too. That doesn't necessarily mean where the tracking stops, that would be where he stopped. And Noah, like I said, had never had his own cell phone number or anything. The only means for communication that he had was Facebook, and his Facebook stops then, too.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. But when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. After listening to part one, Josh and Noah's mom, Janice, decided that she wanted to be part of part two. Here is an extended version of what you heard in the beginning of the episode.
I am Noah, Brandon Davis's mother. I know there's someone out there somewhere that knows something. Something that happened. And most likely the first one that speaks and tells the truth, that they may get a better deal than what the others will get. I'm begging you as a mother, with a love in my heart for my son, that something happened and someone knows. Someone knows what happened. Please tell the person to get this solved. This is 2 years. This is the 2 year anniversary. An anniversary doesn't sound right to say because it's not a celebration. But I don't want it to go 5, 7, 10 years. As Josh has said, my health is not good. But I'm fighting to stay strong because I'm fighting to find and learn about Noah. And I am here for him for anything that he needs. If he needs help, I'll help him. If he doesn't want me in his life, then that's okay. As long as I know he's all right. I just cannot see that Noah would go this far and not get in touch with me whatsoever. He would take care of me at night. He would say, Mom, you're hurting. You need your medicine. He would get up and fix me a scrambled egg sandwich. And he would have me to eat it before I take my medicine. There's no way he could go on and not know what happened to me. The last time I saw Noah, he carried me to the car because I had fluid buildup on my knee and I couldn't use the crutches right. So he picked me up and put me in the car. And he said, Mom, I see you when you get out. You go get took care of. It wasn't a goodbye. It was a see you later. Love you. And see you soon. And then that was the last I seen of him. I never saw him no more. But with me having surgery, that's the first surgery I've ever had. There's no way he wouldn't have gotten in touch with me to see how I am, or need money, or need something. Something happened, and something's wrong. But somebody knows something. No, he's a really good soul. He was loving, he was caring. He loved people. He was really a good person. You know, he really was. And there's no way he'd be out of arm reach without reaching out for Mama. You know, his dad wasn't around, but Mama was. Even when he'd done wrong, he'd come to me and get in the bed and say, Mama, look, I did this. And I say, okay, son, look, we can do this to try to make things better, to work things out. You know, we were really close. And it's hard to explain what I go through. But my nighttime is my worst time. It's when everyone's asleep, you know, no one can see me. And that's when I miss him and I lose it. You know, I just want to hear his breath, his voice, his touch, anything I can get. I walk the yard just to see if I could see his cigarette butts anywhere, see if he drove by. you know, just anything. But if he's listening, I'll let him know I never will give up. I will always fight to find him and to help him in any way I can, in any way he needs me. And I love him. I want him to come home. It's straight from the heart. It is. It is. It's all I know to say to be able to be understood.
Well, to kind of counter hearing what she said. Yeah, I'm sure there's some sort of deal that could come about or whatever if anybody comes forward. But with me, I mean, I may just whoop their ass. That's all. I mean, that might be all I do, because you hear that emotion in my mom. I mean, I just want to only whoop their ass. That's all. I don't have to be a police, you know, open and shut case. I want to physically locate my brother, so I may just only whoop their ass. And you think I'm making jokes. That's about the only extent of that. I mean, I can't tell you I don't really have any intentions of hurting this person, but if I get an opportunity, that's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to kill them or anything like that either. Hopefully my life's never put in that place. But, you know, maybe we can negotiate only an ass with him. I don't know what to say other than that, because I don't even like seeing my mom get that emotional.
If you have any information about the disappearance of Noah Davis, you can reach the Catoosa County Sheriff's Department at 706-935-2424. You can contact Josh on Facebook. He has a page called Where is Noah Davis? You can check out his videos that we mentioned earlier over on that page. That brings us to the end of part 2 of Noah's story. There's a clip of Josh's final thoughts at the end of the show. In a couple of days, I'm going to release a little bonus content, which will be a conversation between Josh and Steve, so you can look forward to that. As I mentioned last episode, Josh and I have become friends, and I see what he goes through trying to find Noah while being a single father and taking care of his mom. I wanted to do something for him to help him further his search efforts and be able to purchase more missing posters and whatnot. I started a YouCaring page for him. You can find it at youcaring.com/whereisnoah. I will post links to that on Facebook and Twitter. I will not ask you to contribute to my Patreon this week. Please donate to that fund instead. I have donated $100 to it myself. That is actually why I did not release this on Patreon first. Again, I would like to thank Josh and Janice for speaking with me and all of you for listening. If you would like to contact me, I am on Twitter at TheVanishPod. I have a Facebook page and a closed group. If you have any trouble finding the group, send me a message and I will send you a link. The Facebook group gives us a place to chat without all of your friends and family seeing your comments. If you have a missing loved one and would like to have them featured on the show, please email me at thevanishedpodcast@gmail.com. I have a call-in line for the show. You can call me at any time and leave a message at 814-826-4749. If you like the show, there are several things that you could do to help me keep making it better. First, subscribe on iTunes or anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Give The Vanished a positive review and share the show with your friends. Also, I would love to know a little bit more about you, so please complete a quick survey at wondery.com/survey. I promise it takes less than 3 minutes of your time. Again, that is wondery.com/survey.
It's obvious, as like even anybody that sees this or hears this can see, that how far back the sheriff's department is, but not holding them accountable is, well, actually, I've not even really truly held them accountable just yet, but anybody can see that they've clearly not done anything. And when you go back and when you see that now almost two years to this very week, which is kind of amazing to think about, that they've not really went and done anything. People on the streets right now that I run into have assumed that it was already a closed matter. They don't know anything because nothing was ever spoken about on the media. They just think that it must have gotten figured out because, yeah, we heard you went missing, but then nothing. You know, because I made a good yell about it at first, and then it's hard to keep the attention on something. And without their help or without them putting it out there on the media, people had just pretty much had forgotten about it. I was able to get one local, the least watched, unfortunately, but the most awesome, if you ask my opinion, media outlet on foot one day from me handing out flyers. They asked me to come in. I looked like, you know, I just crawled out from under an army tank and everything else. But they took me in the studio and aired a 30-second clip that ran with the news that day, which was pretty awesome. I can't lie. I got very excited about that because it was huge, because I couldn't get anybody to talk about it. Even our local newspaper, it took them forever to even reply back to emails, really, even honestly, on it. But they had aired that one day, and then getting Unsolved Mysteries was the other, and then of course this podcast. But I was very thankful, as I am right now, with anybody that assists or helps or enables, and what I call normal reactions, normal behavior, and that my brother deserves to be looked for instead of, you know, warned as a fugitive, wanted.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.